morning. So baptism. I'd like to read to us from Colossians chapter 2. To help us understand what this is, what we're going to see today. So beginning in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says that in Him, that is, in Jesus, you identified with an identification that it was not in your body. It was not physical. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, that is, doing away with you as a sinful person, by identifying with Jesus. And you were buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him, that is, God raised Jesus from the dead. So then baptism is identification with the death of Jesus Christ. It is saying that His death is what purchases my life in God. And it is identifying with His death as they go under the water. It is saying that the sinful man or woman is dead. That one is no longer alive. And they come up into newness of life. He goes on to say, and you, being dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That is all wrong things that we have done. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. He has taken out every rule that condemns us. And these rules were contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So we see that Jesus is the one that does the work. Jesus is the one that pays for the sins. This baptism, this is just ordinary water. East Bay mud. There's nothing special about this. There's nothing holy. What you're seeing is Melissa and Christian are identifying with Jesus and His death and His resurrection. First Peter says that baptism is the answer of a good conscience towards God. It is my mind agreeing with God and Him saying that myself as I am is sinful and broken and I need to be fixed. That I need something new. And so, as they're being baptized, I'd like you to remember there's nothing holy here. But the God who gave the water, the God who gave each of us breath, He is the Holy One. And this is identification with Him. With that, Melissa, we'd love to come and hear what God has done in your life.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to share my story. I was born May 11, 1984, and I grew up in San Francisco going to a Catholic church. So I knew of God, but I didn't understand His message. As I grew older, I learned to fear God, but I grew further and further away from Him. At the age of 14, I ran away from home, and at 15, I got pregnant. Before I turned 20, I had 2 kids. I tried to cover my sins and got married to the father of my kids. 2 years later, we separated. During this time, I felt numb, no pain, no love, no nothing. I resorted to drinking to fill the void, going out partying. I felt I had been robbed of my childhood. I looked for people to blame for my choices, and I lashed out. By the age of 24, I had become an alcoholic. I continued to look for love in another person. And that is when I got pregnant with my 3rd child. My life halted, my drinking stopped, but it also led me to have some health problems. My pregnancy was difficult and lonely. I soon woke up and realized the situation I put myself and my kids in. I was full of regret and shame and soon saw myself alone and now with 3 kids. At this time I prayed, but like many people, when God answers a prayer, we stop praying. Financially, I was doing good, but in my home, everything was starting to fall apart. I continued like this for 5 years. I was very prideful. I always tried to fix the mess I got myself in by myself, and I actually thought I could. Through all the chaos, I knew God was there, but I didn't want to surrender to Him. I foolishly thought I had control. On January 7, I learned the hard way I had no control. That night, my daughter and I got into an argument that would change the course of our lives. That night, I let anger take over me, and I struck my daughter. I realized that night that my home had fallen apart years ago, and that was the culmination of it. I felt defeated. I felt like a failure as a parent, and as a person, I hated myself. But God had other plans for me. I had been on leave from my job for a year and 2 months. And when I returned to another department where I would meet a wonderful person that would not only hear me, but help me. Wendy and I talked a lot, and she would share the word of God with me every chance she got. I grew more curious about God. I picked up my Bible more and more and read, not understanding everything. She invited me to a Bible study group called The Other Thing on Friday night at Jeremy and Christina's house. I didn't realize then, but God had placed me strategically around a lot of his people. It took me a while to come around and actually go. I thought, what if I don't like it? I still got to work with them. That's going to be kind of awkward. But I took a leap of faith, and now I'm learning more than I thought possible through a great teacher God put in my life. I got myself into such a mess that only God would be able to fix it. And he used the chaos I created to bring me to him. On June 26th, I heard the parable of the lost son. I've heard that parable lots of times before, but that day I understood it for the first time. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 through 19. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." I continued to listen to Jeremy explain the compassion the father had for the son. Verse 20. And he arose and came to the father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Instead of reproaching everything the son had done, he clothed him and prepared a feast for him. I knew that day that I was the lost daughter of God, and that he loves me so much that he has forgiven my sins, the same sins he already paid in full for me by sending his only son to die on the cross. That day I understood the love and mercy God has for us, for me. That day Jesus ran to me, and I surrendered my life to him. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 and 25. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Every day I wake up filled with hope, joy, and my Bible at hand to fill my heart with the word of God that I now understand. Reading my Bible daily has become my comfort, and I especially love it when I have my voila moments. As I'm learning, I can witness the hand of God in everything. Praying and having a conversation with God has become second nature. I will not lie, it was a bit difficult for me at first, but now it has become a necessity. He is my peace, my rock, and my one true love. I am grateful for every day I can spend with my kids, my mom, and my family. It's truly a blessing from God that I will no longer take for granted. My problems still exist. My daughter and I still have hard days. But I know that the Lord is with us, guiding us and molding us. I'm here today showing my love to my Father by obeying him and getting baptized. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Melissa, now that you've been found by Jesus, are you trusting in him or in other things for your hope? Okay. Well, then in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you now. like to invite Christians in.
Good morning, everyone. All right, my name is Christian. I'm 19 years old. I grew up in Union City for the vast majority of my life. I moved over here when I was about 3 or 4 from the Philippines. I can tell you guys that I've experienced a lot of loneliness, to the extent of it becoming unbearable. I felt as if I didn't have any family members to turn to. I couldn't find people who had the same interests and values in school, and there was just this looming sense of hopelessness. I didn't feel loved, and when I was down, I reacted with different modes of self-harm, and my outlook on life was one of futility. On top of that, I was a spiteful individual, and would often resent my parents and went as far to think about what evil things I could have done to them. What was the point of living? Was a phrase I would often ask myself. Is there really a heaven or hell? Do I just wither away into a wisp of nothingness and that's it? If that was the case, then it made sense to end the suffering caused by the world and the things that happened in it, right? I constantly felt like everything was against me, and that I would amount to nothing. There wasn't really a role model for me to look up to. I was introduced to the idea of God from my Catholic upbringing during my childhood and very early teenage years. Yet God wasn't that figure of authority that had a major impact in my life. I didn't have a relationship where I could talk to him and talk to him about my worries or my feelings. And having that sort of intimate relationship with God was something that wasn't really taught to me. I was more worried about what people thought of me than what God thought of me. I thought I was being holy by being an altar boy up at church and being up there with the priest. If I wasn't serving with the priest, then I would be part of the audience, bowing, kneeling, walking up towards the altar to receive the bread and blood of Christ, and followed with more kneeling and bowing. I was doing all of these things. They had no meaning to me. I was trying so hard to make myself look good in front of others rather than focusing on God. And eventually I walked away from him, from the idea of God at the end of eighth grade. I coupled with my feelings of depression, I felt so much disappointment when I couldn't see God blessing me. And I never really felt thankful for when I thought he was working with me. Fast forward from eighth grade to my first year of college at Chabot. I still feel like I didn't belong in this world and that there wasn't really much for me. Now at this point, I still didn't have a friend that I considered myself to be close with. That lasted for even more than 2 years. Everything just seemed to be so temporary. And prospects other than enduring this life, for it all to end after death, continued to be desirable. But things started to turn around after I met one particular dude. He's an okay guy. And my first impression of him was, let's just say interesting. But this guy turned out to be pretty all right. And what struck me about this person was that he actively sought to be my friend, which to my initial dismay was pretty odd to me. And gradually, I met his friends and his family. And this was the first time I've ever experienced what I thought to be what was genuine love from people other than those from my immediate family. Questions about my welfare, asking to hang out, spend some time together, and being told I love you from friends was just a totally new thing to me. And eventually, I learned that these people were behaving this way because of their own love for God and the recognition of God loving them first. God? You mean that guy who I thought wasn't really helping me out during my years of depression and loneliness? Yes, him. It was through meeting Josiah that I was reintroduced to the concept of God. And through many late night talks and conversations with him and a lot of other people, I was reintroduced to the law. And over time, I learned about the law and how I was constantly breaking the law and hurting God. And that penalty for breaking God's law led to eternal death. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That gift was offered to me through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. The gift of eternal life rather than the punishment of eternal death. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we may die to sin and live for righteousness." for by his wounds you were healed. I was hurting him while he loved me, and he still continues to love me, no matter how many times I go against him. On May 24th of 2015, while sitting in front of this beautiful lake up near Truckee, and pondering about the idea of God being a creator, I decided, I think it's time that I be myself as one of his creations. I decided to accept that I was broken, and no matter how much I try to fix myself, I learned that that alone was not good enough. I was made a precious being that God created. I no longer wanted to see life as meaningless and futile. I wanted to feel as if I had a belonging in this world, even if this world is full of challenges. God fulfilled that for me, and he provided me with a place and a community of people who want to worship this awesome and amazing God. He lifted the anger that I had towards my parents alongside the pain that accompanied it. Because of him, I was able to forgive my parents, and it was his perfect sense of love and forgiveness that he had for me that allowed me to forgive them. To this day, I'm still amazed at how God deals with people and how perfect love and justice can only be carried out by him. God put effort into making me, and he gave me a purpose to live. He made it so that I did not need to dwell in the past, in the darkness, and in hatred. Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is for gain." Christ is the goal, and I need to accept him and have faith in him for the security of my eternal life. And this is something I have chosen because I've grown to love him. This is the most precious gift from my Savior, the guarantee of eternal life through the love of God himself, and the means to be at the right hand of God when this physical body perishes.
Christian, now that you've met Jesus, are you looking for your satisfaction in any other thing other than him now?
No.
Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What you've seen today is this beloved brother and sister obeying their Lord, obeying the one who loves them more than anyone else. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, all things have become new. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you make all things new, that when we are at the most hopeless point in our life, that when we have nothing left to give, that when we are empty and so tired of life, Lord, that you are there. And we recognize that you are there every moment before that, and you are seeking our good. You're seeking our best. God, we thank you for the testimonies that we've heard of how good you are to us, of how great your love is for us, Lord. We pray that we would truly understand that all together, that we would see in each other the love of God made manifest. Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to die for us, that you traded your life for ours. And we pray now that our hearts would be turned towards you, that we would have lives that are lived for you because of your life that was for us. We thank you for all the good things that you've given to us in your name. Amen.